The Mishnah. A Ptsua Daka and a Krus Shafra, although usher to marry a native born Bas Yisrael, are mutter to marry a Geyeres and a Shifra Mishuchreres. And the Gemara says, they didn't accept Geyerim in the time of Shlema HaMelech, because these Geyerim were not Lishma, they just wanted to be Eile L'Shulchan Melochem. The Mishnah. A Geyer from Amain and Moav cannot marry into the Kahal Hashem forever, but a woman Amaini, Mayavi, can marry immediately after converting. A Mitzri and a Daimi from Esav are only permitted to marry into Klal Yisrael after 3 generations, and women are also included in this takana. According to Reb Shimon, Mekeves are mutter immediately, of course only if they convert. And the Gemara says, the reason Amain and Mayav are usher to marry into Klal Yisrael is because they didn't offer Bnei Yisrael food and water when they were traveling from Yitzias Mitzrayim. Asher lo kidmu eschem belechem uvamayim. I once heard, it's a very big question here, because they just didn't give Klal Yisrael, Bnei Yisrael, food and water, that's a reason they shouldn't be able to marry into Klal Yisrael. That seems like a very big chumrah not to allow them to marry. So I once heard a teretz, since Avram Avinu saved Lot, their entire being of Amon and Moav in this world was rooted in the Hakaras Hatoiv towards Avram Avinu. So they should have definitely come to the aid of Klal Yisrael with Lechem and Mayim as a minimal level of Hakaras Hatoiv. Since they didn't have Hakaras Hatoiv, and the value of Hakaras Hatoiv is so critical, and they were Mevatel, the whole fact and the whole thing that saved their nation and their lives, we don't allow them to marry into Bnei Yisrael. Daf Ayin Zayin. Any Talmud Chacham who teaches a halacha before a Maisa, then we believe him. If not, then he might be considered a Nageir B'Dover. The Pasuk in Tilim, Kapitel Mem Hei, called Kevaida Bas Melech Penima, the honor of a daughter of a king, is to stay inside the palace. Therefore, we couldn't hold anything against the female members of Amon and Moav, since they couldn't really come out and bring food and water to Bnei Yisrael. That's why they're Mutter Lavoi B'Kal Hashem, but only the men are Aser. According to Reish Lakish, just like if a Kohen Gadol marries an Almana, the daughter is Aser L'Kahuna, so too if a Ger Mitzri marries a Bas Yisrael, the daughter is Asura. According to Rabbi Yechanan, the daughter is Mutter. And this is how we pass it. A Mamzer is Aser to marry a Bas Yisrael forever. Dafayim Ches. Rabbi Yechanan says if a father was a second generation Mitzri, a Mitzri Sheni, and the mother was a first generation Mitzri, the child will follow the status of the father. So he'll be considered a Mitzri Shlishi, and he can marry into Klal Yisrael. As we see from Masechet Kiddushin, as long as there was no Avera, the child will generally follow the father, like we see Kohen Levi Yisrael. The other Shita in Rabbi Yechanan says, we go after the mother, Lahachmer, here, since we say Uber Yerech Imai. Rava says, a Nachri who was pregnant when she became a Geyeres, her child does not need a special tefillah, but is automatically considered Jewish. This is since we say Minatira, there is a chatzitza on Raiv of the person, and she's not makpid about it, the tefillah is kosher. Midrabanan, this is still considered a chatzitza. This is even if you hold uber, lab, yerach, imay. The Mishnah. Mamzerim and Nesinim, these are from the 7 nations that were in Niskayrim in the days of Yehoshua, the Givainim, they're usher forever. This is both the Zacharim and the Nekevis. And the Gemara says, Reish Lakish learns, Mamzeris, Nekevis are mutter after 10 generations. The Gemara says, when there was a major famine occurring amongst Klal Yisrael, David HaMelech asks the Urim Tumim why this was happening. And it answers that this was because Shaul wasn't maspid properly. When he died, they didn't be maspid for him properly. And that Shaul killed the Givinim unnecessarily. Dafayin Tes. The sons of Shaul were punished for the Chatoim of their father. The Gemara says it was David HaMelech who made the Gzera that Givinim cannot be part of Klal Yisrael from the time of the after of the Bate Mikdashin. Moshe Rabbeinu assured them for the time before that. The Mishnah, as background. If the dead brother is a Saris, or the Yavam is a Saris, i.e. they can't have children, or if the Yavama is an Islandess, she can't have children, then the mitzvah of Yibam does not apply. And the Mishnah says, depending on if they were born that way, or became incapable of having children later on, there are variations on this halacha. But in general, both a Saris and an Islandess are lecha letzis v'lei misya v'emes. And if they give chalitza anyways, the woman is not usher to marry a kayin. But if he does yibam and has bia, she is usher to a kayin, since this was considered a bias zunus. And the Gemara says, according to Rabbi Akiva, we treat chayvi lavin the same way we treat chayvi krisus. According to Rabbi Akiva, even if a person was a saris later in life, as long as at one time he wasn't a saris, he is kosher to do yibam. and a child can be born as a saras at birth, which is called a swis chama, if his mother experienced too much heat while she was pregnant. She experienced a lot of heat, then there's a sakana, and the child might come to be born as a saras chama. Daf pe. Beis Hillel says if a zachar was 13 years old and didn't bring shnei simanim, two hairs, we consider that he remains a katan until he brings shnei simanim. If he reaches age 20 and he still didn't bring shnei simanim, and he shows simanim of saras, we consider him a saras. The same halachas apply to a girl, i.e. regarding if she's an islandess, that age 12 and 20 are the key ages. According to Beis Hillel, the age is not 20, but rather 18. According to Rabbi Elazar, for a girl it's 18, for a boy it's 20. A saras is excluded from the halachas of Ben Sari Umaira, since that period lasts only 3 months after Bar Mitzvah, and since he had no simanim of godless, he's excluded, because he's never really in that first 3 months after Bar Mitzvah. A child normally will only live if he was born after 7 months, or after 9 months, not if he lives for a period of 8 months. However, any child, once he lives for 30 days after he's born, he's considered a ben kayama, regardless of whether he was born after 7, 9, or 8 months. The Gemara says a saras is identified by the fact if he grows no hair on his face, his voice doesn't mature, and his urine doesn't produce a foam, amongst other possible things. I.e., these are things that don't show that he's a gadol. And an islandess is a woman who is missing the simanim that proves she's a mature woman. And finally, the Gemara says, just as an islandess is bidei shamayim, one who was born that way, so is a saras. Daf Peyala, the Mishnah. A kain who was born as a saras, if he marries a bas Yisrael, she is mutter to eat truma. The Gemara says the chiddush of this Mishnah is that I would think only someone who is capable of having children is mechuyev to give his wife truma. Kamash Milan, even a kain saras who cannot have children still is mechuyev to give his wife truma. Reish Lakish says, although a kain androgynous can give his wife truma, he can't give her to eat from the chaz of a shaykh, the breast and the leg from the shlamin. According to Rabbi Yosi Reb Shimon, he can give her the chaz of a shaykh. The Gemara says truma becomes batel b'meya, but if it's a davar shebeminyan, something that you can count, that it's not batel, if it is an iser, the iser is midaraisa. We know when a prohibited substance, something which is usur, gets mixed into something which is permitted, davar which is mutter, we generally follow the principle of bitul b'rayv, which means that the minority component assumes the status of the majority component. Therefore, if the prohibited substance only constitutes a minority, a little bit of the mixture, then the complete mixture becomes mutter because it's batel b'rayv. The Rabbanan, however, enacted certain exceptions to this rule. They said that a substance of substantial importance retains its identity even though it is the minority, and therefore does not become batel. The degree of importance and significance necessary is subject to discussion and debate in the Gemara. We know that there are many exceptions to the rule of bitul b'rayv, and in fact there are many instances where something can't become batel at all. Chametz b'Pesach, chaticha royuli skabed, davar sheyesh le'matirin, etc. The Gemara here says that a piece of carbon chatas meat, which is forbidden to a non-kayin, does not become batel if it gets mixed into many other pieces of ordinary meat, chulin meat. Taisvis explains that a piece of meat is considered ru'uy l'iskabit, it's something very chashev, thus having the required degree of importance to disallow bitul b'rayv, because it's very chashev. Taisvis further explains that although the chatas meat itself is actually not considered ru'uy l'iskabit, since it's only allowed to be eaten by kahanim in the Beis HaMikdash, nevertheless, it cannot become batel, since subsequent to it becoming batel in the ordinary meat, it will become then ru'uy l'iskabit. The Taz thus deduces from this that the criterion for determining the importance and significance of an item in regard to its feasibility to become batel is dependent on its status, which it assumes subsequent to the bitul b'rayv. The Trumas Hadeshen rules that a Chanukah candle, once you reserve it for the purpose of the mitzvah, you take it out of the box, you say, now I'm going to use this to light Chanukah lit from it, at that point it's prohibited for a non-mitzvah use. It cannot become batel if at that point it becomes mixed into ordinary candles, since it is an item of substantial significance, as the Gemara refers to it, darkoi limanais. The Taz, however, in accordance with his deduction from Taisus, which we said before, maintains that although the Chanukah candle presently is an item of importance, nevertheless, it can become batel, since subsequent to the bitel, it will assume the status of ordinary candles, and will no longer be regarded as an item of significance. Later on, it's not chashev anymore. Okay. Further on in the Gemara, there's a machlekes if truma bizman hazeh is midaraisa, as Rabbi Yochanan says, or truma bizman hazeh is midarabanan, as Reish Lakish says. Rabbi Yehuda holds min b'minai, is not batal. But the Chachamim hold, min b'minai is batal. Daf Pei Beis. If something is a davar sheyesh le'matirin, eventually it will become mutter. As we know, for example, be'ah shenolda b'yantif, a be'ah which is comes out on yantif. So right now it's nolad, so it's usur on yantif. But later on after yantif it's mutter. So we say afilu be'elaf lo'y batal. Because we say, ad she'techlena be'iser, techlena be'heter. What do you have to eat it right now that it's usur? Wait till it becomes mutter, and then you can eat it. The Gemara says, we learn in Seder Olam that Klal Yisrael has two Yerushas in Eretz Yisrael. One in the time of Yehoshua, and one in the time of Ezra, Binyan Bayis Sheni. But they don't require a third Yerusha for La'asid Lavai, since the Yerusha Shnia by Ezra has Kedusha even today. Le'batla v'kitsha La'asid Lavai. We say that that refers to today. So according to this, Truma, even Bizman Hazeh, is Min HaTorah. The Gemara says, if a mikveh has exactly 40 saw of water in it, we know that a mikveh needs 40 saw, but let's say it has exactly that, therefore it's kosher, and then he pours in one saw of juice, and then he pours out one saw from the mix. So when he poured in one saw of juice, it had 41 saw. Now he poured out one saw out. So now it's got exactly 40 saw. However, mixed into that is a little bit of juice. So the question is it kosher or not? The Gemara says the mikveh remains kosher, since the juice, when it was first poured in, was batal to the water. Now it becomes batal. It doesn't matter what happens afterwards. As long as when you take out from it, there's still 40 saw left, the juice that had gotten poured in was batal anyway. Therefore, the mikveh remains kosher. The Gemara says a man who is mishkav zachar is chayev skila. But if a zachar is sheichev with an androgynous, which is a suffix zachar, suffix nekeva, it's a machlekes if he's mechuyev once for skila or mishtei mekaymes. Daf Pei Gimel. Rabbi Yossi says an androgynous is a bria bifnei atzmai, and the chachamim couldn't decide if he is a zachar or a nekeva, versus a tumtum where his aver is just covered, so you can't tell whether he's a zachar or a nekeva. 30 days before a Shemitah year begins, one should already stop planting. And if he did plant, he must uproot it. Rabbi Yehuda says 3 days before he has to stop planting. Shimon Rabbi Yaisi says, say 2 weeks before is the period he has to stop planting, because that's as long as it takes for it to begin growing. The Gemara says a woman can only become a Zava if the blood comes because of herself, not if it comes as a result of the pressure of labor from the birth of a child, which is referred to as Dam Kaishi. And this hardship of labor can happen as far as 40 to 50 days before birth, and then the blood is matter, it doesn't make her usher as a zava. This is the shita of Rameir. But according to Rabbi Yehuda, it's up to 30 days. According to Rabbi Yaisi, Rabbi Shimon, it's 2 weeks. And if she sees blood, dam kaishi, it won't be metame her, and it will not make her a zava. It's interesting to point that if the dam, however, is blood during her yemei nidus, we know that there are 7 yemei nidus and 11 yemei zivus. If it happens during the yemei zivus, and it happens as a result of the childbirth, and depending on this period, according to this machlekes, she does not become tame. By shanking, if the blood that she sees as a result of childbirth is during her Shiva Yemei Nidus, then she does become a Nida, no matter what the source is, whether it becomes from the child or from herself. The Gemara says a person cannot asser something that he doesn't own. He cannot use someone else's wine, for example, for Avodah Zarah, pour it, and then say it should become asser as Yayin Nesach. It doesn't belong to him. According to Rav Simai, if a Zachar was Ba on an androgynous, he is Chayv Misa from Mishnei Mekaymes. The Gemara says an animal which is an androgynous cannot become Kaddish to be a carbon. According to the Rambam, an androgynous as a person is a Suffolk Yish, Suffolk Isha. But an animal which is an androgynous cannot become a carbon, so we don't know if it's a Zachar or a Nekeva. According to Rashi and Taisvis, the androgynous is considered a Vadei Zachar, but an animal androgynous cannot be used as a carbon either. And finally, the Gemara says an animal which is Yoytze Daifin, Tumtum, or androgynous cannot become a carbon, cannot become Kaddish, and cannot become Kaddish even via a Temura. This marks the end of this parak. Now let's begin the ninth parak, Yesh Mutares, Daf Pei Dalet, the Mishnah. This Mishnah is basically a review of previously learned halachas. There are some women who are permitted to the husband, but asur to their yavam, i.e. their brother-in-law, after their husband dies. For example, she marries a Kayin Hedyot, and he dies, and the brother is a Kayin Gadol. So since Almana l'kayin gadol is aser, he can't make yibam to her. Some are aser to the husband, but mutter to the yavam. For example, a kayin married a chalala, which is aser to him, since chalal is aser to a kayin, and he dies, and the brother is a chalal. So he can make yibam, since a chalal is mutter to marry a chalala. Also, there are some cases where the yavama is aser to both the husband and the yavam. The Mishnah also lists cases that involve shniyais, those arayas that are only aser midrabanan, for example, a granddaughter. A child born from a shniyais relationship is legitimate, and can marry into Klal Yisrael and is not considered a mamzer. However, in Shniyos, Beis Din forces the couple to get a divorce, and the woman loses her right to ksuba money. However, in cases of Isur Daraisa, like mamzer, the woman does not lose her ksuba money, since we say, Divrei Torah einam trichem chizuk. Rather, when we're dealing with Isurim Darabanan, those are the ones that need chizuk. And the Gemara says, it is the original marriage that determines whether or not we do yibum. Although a male kayin cannot marry a woman chalala, but a female kohenes can marry a chalal. She over here says, in general, it's better, it's preferable, for a kayin to marry a bas kayin versus marrying a bas Yisrael. The Gemara says men and women get the same punishments if they're oivran Yisurim, that everyone is chayav on. The Minchas Chinuch says that a mitzvah sasei shazman groma, a woman, of course, is paterin, because she's paterin in general. Daf pehe. In the time of Ezra, there were 10 types of people that came up from Babel, including the Kohanim, the Levium, the Yisraelim, and the Givinim. A Yavamus Ksuba is paid for out of the estate of her first husband, not the Yavam. The Gemara says, if an Almana marries a Kain Gadol, or a Grusha of a Chalutza marry a Kain Hedyot, even though these are Osur Midaraisa, the husband still has a Chiyav in Ksuba, but he does not have a Chiyav Mizainus. However, for Shniyais, these are the Isurim, the Ervis Darabanan, as we mentioned before, he doesn't give her a Ksuba. We're more machmer by Shniyais than by Daraises, because we say, Divrei Torah Einim Trichem Chizuk, Divrei Seifrim Trichem Chizuk. Ha'isha writes Alihinasa Yaiser Ma'ish. In general, a woman has a desire to get married more than a man has a desire to get married. And the Gemara says, if a man divorces a woman, he can return to her as long as she hasn't married someone else. Once she does, however, it's Osir. If, however, he is Machsu Grushase at this time, there is a question if she gets a ksuba or not. The next Mishnah. A Bas Yisrael who had Erisin to a Kayin cannot eat Truma until Nisuin. If she married a Kayin and he died, as long as she had a child from him, she can continue to eat truma, but not if she was just pregnant before he died. A Bas Yisrael, who fell to Yibum to a Kayin, can only eat truma after Yibum. A Bas Kayin can eat truma from her father's house until she makes Erisin to Yisrael. The same halachas apply vis-a-vis a Bas Yisrael to a Levi regarding Meiser Sheni. Daf Pevav. Rameir says you give truma to a Kayin and Meiserishin to a Levi for the purposes of eating. Others hold that even a Kayin can eat Meiser. Meiserishin, however, is not allowed to be eaten by a Zar. If a person eats Tevel, i.e. something that Truma was not taken off of, then he's Chayav Misa. The Gemara says we never give a woman a chelik of Meiser by the grain silo. And the Gemara asks, why was there once a takana made that Levium could not eat Meiser due to a Knas? And the Gemara answers, either since the Levium didn't join Ezra when they went up to the Bayis Sheni, or in order to provide Kohanim with food when they're Tameh and they couldn't eat Truma. And so a Kayin is like an Ani at that point, so he gets sort of like a Maiser Sheni, which is kind of like a Maiser Ani. At the beginning, Shaitrim, who were the Dayanim for Mamanus, were only appointed from the Levium. After this Knas, in the days of Ezra, we only appointed Shaitrim from Yisraelim, not from the Levium. The Mishnah. A Bas Yisrael who has Nesuin to a Kayin can eat Truma. If she now marries a Levi, she cannot eat Truma, but she can eat Meiser. If from either marriage she has a child and her husband dies, she can continue with her married rights. For example, if she was married to a Kayin, she can now continue eating Truma. But once the child dies, she goes back to the status of her father's house. So if her father was a Kayin, she can eat Truma. But if her father was a Yisrael, she has to stop eating Truma. Daf Pei Zayin, the Gemara. Once a girl leaves her father's house, he cannot be made for neder for her anymore. A Bas Kayin who returns to her father's house, she can return to eating Truma, but she cannot return to eating the Chaza, the Sheik, parts of the Karban Shlom. Once a woman has a child, even if he immediately died after birth, there is no din of Yibam, since we say that Torah, according to the Torah, Derachaha Darcheinayam, Techol Nesivai Seha Shalom. All the halachas that come from the Torah are done in a very nice way to treat people well, therefore this halacha applies. This marks the end of this parak. Now let's begin the 10th parak, Ha'isha Rabbah, the Mishnah. A woman whose husband went to another country, and then someone came and told her that her husband died, and she went and married a new husband, which is of course mutter to her. Then later her husband came back. In other words, she found out she made a mistake. She went and married someone, Alpidus Aid, and now she found out that her husband in fact didn't die, but her husband is really alive. As background to this, we know that the Chachamim were Mekel and allowed even one aid as a witness to a woman to tell her that her husband died, which would then allow her to marry someone else. If this in fact happens, and her husband now suddenly returns, and she found out she made a mistake, then we say teitze mizeh umizeh. She has to now divorce both of them, both the original husband who came back, and the new person that she married under the pretenses that she thought that her first husband had died. Not only that, she gets no ksuva from either of them, and neither of them is mechuyev to give her mezainis either. So there are a lot of significant amount of losses here. These are all due to knasim. We want to make sure that the woman is very careful before she marries a second husband. Therefore, the chachamim were mesaken that even though we allowed an eid echad to testify, to allow her to marry a second man, she has to be very careful in doing that, because if she does make the mistake, she has these very big knasim. So we want her to check out very well. Also, if children are born from either of these people now, they're considered mamzerim. Rabbi Yossi says, even though we apply all these knasim to her, but she does get ksuba mani anyway. And the Gemara says, although normally we need two edim to establish a testimony, typically, and anything else, in a case of a possible dead husband, we need only one aid. And in fact, not only is one aid good, even aid mi pi aid is good. If one aid hears from another aid, that's considered as if we have the proper aidus, and the woman is allowed to marry someone else. This, of course, was very nageya, for example, during the Second World War, where there were people in concentration camps, and many people didn't realize who was nifter, who was not nifter, who was alive, and who was not. So sometimes things came from one witness to another, where one person had heard from somebody else that that person's husband had died. They were matir in those kinds of cases, that the woman should be able to remarry. Daf Pechas. How can we believe one aid? We know that there's a question of averba here, and we say, ein davar sheva erva pachas mi bishnayim. We know that normally we always have to have two edim. So here, surely, where there's a question of erva, ein davar sheva erva pachas mishnayim, we surely need two edim. So how do we allow one aid in this kind of a case? So the Gemara answers, sometimes we're meikel if it isn't ischazek yisura, or if it's biyada lesakna. The conclusion why we're meikel for her with only one aid is because we say mishum iguna ikilu bei rabbanan, because we're afraid of aguna, so that a woman shouldn't be left perpetually unmarried for the rest of her life. The chachamim were meikel, they had rachmanas on her, therefore they allowed one aid. The Ritva learns that even though we have no pasuk for this, we can be meikel with one aid, since we assume the woman will make a very thorough investigation, because she's afraid of all the knasim that we mentioned before. Plus, we have the eid echad who said this testimony, and this eid echad is exceptionally credible, since he's very apprehensive to falsify the husband's death, in fear that his lie is likely to become exposed to his great embarrassment. If the husband actually comes back later on, he's going to be very embarrassed, and he's going to be exposed that he said false testimony as soon as the husband comes back. Therefore, it's like we're mitzaref the fact that we have one aid who's very careful, with all the investigation that the wife makes, that's equal to two aidim. That's like two aidim. That's why we allow eid echad in this kind of a case. The Neid Yehuda asserts that the Ritva's reasoning that we just mentioned only applies to a witness that is giving an eyewitness account of the husband's death, i.e. he's a full aid. He reasons that a witness who only repeats somebody else's testimony, that it's aid mi pi aid, which before we said is considered like two aidim, that doesn't have the same strength here, and that would not be good, because aid mi pi aid doesn't have the same hesitation about lying, since the husband's reappearance would not expose him as an outright liar, like you would have if one aid came. He can easily say, you know what, I didn't lie, I heard it from somebody else, therefore what do you want from me? Hence, the Neid Yehuda maintains that aid mi pi aid does not have the same credibility as mamish and aid in itself, and that wouldn't be good. That would only be valid mida rabbanan. But really, in that kind of a case, you would need two aid. So the only time an aid echad is good is if it's mamish the aid himself. Rashi in Gittin and in Masechta Shabbos daf Kuf Mem Hei learns that the reason we're mekel in this kind of a case with one witness is due to the klal of kol hamikadesh adaita de rabbanan mikadesh. When a man says harayat mikudeshes li b'tabazu kedas Moshe of Yisrael, the words Kedas Moshe of Yisrael mean only to the extent that the Chachamim want to see his marriage continue. But here, since the Chazal want to be Eker the Kedushin, to prevent her from being an Aguna, we allow the Eid Achad to be good enough also. And the Gemara brings down Rav. The only time we make her leave both husbands is if she relied tak on an Eid Achad. But if she relied on the testimony of two Eidim, then we can be more Mekel and we don't give her all of these Knasim. The Gemara says sometimes Eidim can mix up what they actually saw doing something, as we learned by Yosef, that after he grew his beard, his brothers didn't recognize him. Vayakar Yosef es echad v'heim lo hikiruhu. The Gemara says, anytime we believe one aid, we consider that one aid to be equivalent to two aidim. Once an aid, a man, came and established that the husband is dead, even if multiple aidim came later on and say that he's alive, we still believe the first aidim over all of those other aidus. And finally, the Gemara says, machser grushasai is only usher if there was nesuin to husband number two, not just erusin. Daf Peites. The reason a man needs to give his wife a ksuba is to make it hard for him to divorce her. So he'll think twice about doing it. Shalo tehe kal be'eneha lahaitzia. So it shouldn't be just easy, but he should just let go of her. If a person took off truma from cucumbers, and he didn't realize that they were bitter, in other words, they were sort of like not that great, so b'shaygig, he didn't take off good quality produce for the truma, it still counts as truma anyway. If someone marries a katana, he can't yarshin from her until later on. According to Beis Shammai, until she's 12 years old. According to Beis Hillel, until chuppah. And according to Rebbe Eliezer, until they have bia together. If Beis Din wants to take away property from someone, they can. They're allowed to do it, since we say the klal of hefker, Beis Din, hefker. And finally, the Gemara says a meis mitzvah is a situation where no one is around to bury a dead person, but you end up doing it, so you get credit for meis mitzvah. Daf tzadik. A kohen can use truma tameya to make kedushin, which proves that truma tameya also has value. That sits on the forehead of a kohen is meratza, makes atonement for dam shenitma and cholav shenitma, whether it became tamei b'mezid or became tamei b'shaygi. Sometimes the rabbanon are oiker certain halachas from the Torah. For example, we don't bring a knife into a rishus haravim, even a rishus haravim midrabbanon, in order to do mila on Shabbos, which is really mechuyav midaraisa. Or we don't blow a shofar on Shabbos because of Egzera de Rabbanan. The Mishnah in Rosh Hashanah, Daf Chavtes Amid Beis, says, when Rosh Hashanah falls out on Shabbos, Chazal said that the Shofar should only be blown in the Beis HaMikdash or in Beis Din, elsewhere, which includes today, for example. It should not be blown due to the concern that it may lead to carrying on Shabbos in the Rishus HaRav. The Gemara here explains that the Chazal are authorized to enact a decree which requires one to refrain from filling a mitzvah, Shev V'Altasa. Rabbi Akiva Eger is of the opinion that if one blew the Shofar on Shabbos, although he transgressed the Isra of Chazal, who decreed not to blow, nevertheless, he has fulfilled the mitzvah of Shofar anyway. He is of the opinion that the authority of Chazal to be Eker a mitzvah only extends insofar as the rabbinic prohibition forbidding Shofar on Shabbos, but they can't detract from the mitzvah itself of Shofar. Harav Avchanan Wasserman, Zecharenu Levracha, quotes Rabbeinu Yoina from Brachas Daf Beis, amongst others, who maintain that Chazal were empowered to entirely uproot the mitzvah with their decree. Therefore, when they said that the shofar shouldn't be blown on Shabbos, they in effect removed the mitzvah. So if a person does take a blow, he doesn't even get the mitzvah of blowing shofar at all. Finally, the Gemara says sometimes a Beis Din or a Rav will make certain protective takanas in order to be mischazek the generation if needed. Daf Tzadik Aleph. If a shofar was writing a get in Bavel, and he wrote the date of the get according to the Greek king, or he made some other mistake, the get is not chal. If the get doesn't have a signature on it, it's also no good, and she is responsible since she should have checked it out better. Rabbi Akiva Eger learns that in order for a woman to be able to get married, aid me pi aid echad, this aid echad must testify in front of a Beis Din, not just simply tell the woman. The Rambam points out that even if it was aid me pi isha mi pi evad, it's considered good aidus. And so too, Rabbi Akiva Eger points out that a mailed letter, something which was mailed, would also be considered good aidus. However, if a woman gets married without any aidus, then, after that one aid comes, this could create a very big shiloh. So people have to be very careful to wait first for the aid echa to come, then to get married. Daf Tzadik Beis. If Beis Din makes a mistake in paskening a shiloh, they must bring a par helem dover as a kapara for the entire tzibur. If, however, one person makes a mistake from an einus Beis Din, then that person must bring a chatas for the shkaga, the Mishnah. If her husband and son, woman's husband and son, went to Medinat Hayam, and they came and told her bad news, first they said your husband died. Then, in fact, right after that, your son died. So since a child was alive at the time of the father's death, there's no chiyav yibum. So then she went, and she married someone new. Then they came and told her that the story was reversed. It was the other way around. Really, first the son died, then the father died. So she must now leave the new husband, and the children are considered mamzerim. The Gemara. Rabbi Akiva holds that kedushin is not typhus if someone marries chayved lavin. The Chachamim say, by a regular lav, the kedushin is typhus. So a child from this marriage would not be a mamzer, because we say, ein mamzer b'yavam. If a man makes kedushin to a woman that should be chal after she becomes a ger, of course it can't be chal now, it can only be chal later, so it's not chal, because we say it's a davar shalei ba li'ayla. Daf Tzadik Gimel. Can a person make a neder to give away something which doesn't belong to her yet? The Gemara answers, it's a machlekes. Although many tanaim hold, a person can give away something that isn't in the world yet. On Shabbos, one is not allowed to take off meiser peiros, midr abanan, because einik Shabbos must be preserved. If a woman says, my husband died, we believe her, and she can marry someone else. And regarding aguna, we believe in eid echad either because mishum de milsa de igluye le mishakri, the eid is afraid that if he lies, he'll be exposed, or because the woman will investigate on her own. Daf Tzadik Dalet. According to Rava, one eid is believed for the purpose of Yavama. This is learned from a Kal Vachemer. If eid echad is believed for the Daraisa of Eishes Ish, surely the eid echad is believed for this. We are now holding at the next Mishnah. At this point, we will conclude our shiur.